First Kings chapter number 2. Tonight, First Kings chapter number 2. We're at the beginning of Solomon's reign. Pick up where we left off, talking about David's death last time, and we know that David's health had been failing, and Adonijah, one of his sons, there was a son that you would logically think that he would be in line for the throne, except that God told David that Solomon was the one that the Lord had picked. You know, we're not to do things the way the world does it. We're to do things that God, the way that God would have us to do it. And so Adonijah thought that he was going to be sitting pretty for the throne, and he saw an opportunity to seize the throne. After all, his dad was sick and about dead, but he was thwarted by the will of God. God's will from before Solomon had even been born was for Solomon to succeed his father, David, on the throne as king of Israel. And Adonijah thought to keep that from happening, but God's will was accomplished in spite of Adonijah's plan. I mean, he thought if he jumped in there and got the people behind him, and he had this little coronation party going on, and everybody was excited about him being king, they kind of lost excitement over Dad because Dad was kind of passing off the scene there. He thought he could supplant God's will, but it was not able to do that. Adonijah acted according to his own reasoning and according to the lust of his own flesh. And that's never a good idea. You know, you ought not to be following your flesh. You know, that will eventually bring you trouble most every time, like it did Adonijah. Solomon, though, waited for God's timing and allowed God to bring his will to pass. And as a result, Adonijah is off the throne and Solomon is on the throne, where we pick up here in verse number 12 tonight. We saw in chapter 1 how that God used Nathan and Bathsheba to quicken David's memory in this matter before his death, and they encouraged him to go ahead and take care of his successor. Go ahead and have him anointed, present him to the people, and even let him sit on the throne. And that's exactly what David did. David went ahead and took up the matter with Solomon. And so while Adonijah was having what he thought would be his coronation cookout, Solomon was being anointed king, being presented as king to Israel, and he was being seated as king on the throne of his dad. And we see him on the throne there in verse number 12 after his father's death. It says in we're in 1 Kings chapter number 2 and verse number 12, says, "Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly." What a wonderful statement there. Solomon waited for God's timing. He is now king, and he did not try to jump the gun like Absalom had. Remember, Absalom tried to run his dad off the throne and take over that way. And then Adonijah figured he would just kind of jump in there and do things his own way. Both of them were wrong in their approach. But a lesson here is to understand how impatience and greed can get us into trouble. And we need to know God's will. And when we know God's will, sometimes we have to just wait on God's timing. You know, you may know God's will, but it may not be God's timing just yet. And this is the way we see that Solomon did. You don't see Solomon jumping ahead. No doubt he had been told that he was the chosen one for the throne. But he waited on the Lord to bring it to pass. And rather than get ahead of God and push for what we want, as Adonijah did, and have it fly back in our face, like we're going to see what's going to happen here to Adonijah, it's best to just wait on the Lord. Amen. Solomon came to the throne God's way, and it says here that his kingdom was established greatly, which means that it was fixed, it was stable, it was very well prepared. Hold your place there for just a moment. Flip over to 1 Chronicles 29. And this is a kind of parallel in this time frame. 1 Chronicles 29, if you read the context of what's going on here, you'll understand that it's at the very beginning of Solomon's reign. And 1 Chronicles 29, I just want you to see some additional words that are used about Solomon's throne. 1 Chronicles 29, look at verse number 23. It says, "Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king, as instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him." Notice, "And all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel." So we see the blessings of God upon him. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 1 and verse number 1. It says, "And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly." You know, a proud man tries to exalt himself, but an humble man allows God to do the exalting. We'll humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll lift us up. And that's what we see here in Solomon's life. The lesson here is that if you want your life to be established greatly, know God's will for your life, wait for God's timing, and let the Lord establish your life. And when you do that, the Lord will magnify your life. Let Him do the magnifying. Let Him do the establishing. Now, let's flip back to our passage there in 1 Kings chapter number 2. And we're going to pick up in verse number 13. And we're going to look tonight at Adonijah's demise. And we told you how this was coming up. Adonijah's made a fool out of himself. I mean, you know, he was there at what he had wanted to be his coronation party. And all this noise about Solomon being on the throne, they heard it from a distance. Here comes a messenger, and boy, he thought that everybody had heard that he was going to be on the throne. And they were excited about Adonijah being on the throne, and he just kind of said, "Well, go ahead and give us the good news. What's going on that we're hearing?" And he said, "Solomon's on the throne." Well, it busted up the party. If you remember, everybody just scattered. You know, they were shaking in their boots, including at that time Adonijah. But he feared also because of Solomon. If you remember, he went in and grabbed hold of horns on the altar. And, you know, Solomon was gracious. Solomon spared his life. I mean, Solomon could have took his life right then and there. But he didn't. And he had escaped with his life, but he just couldn't leave well enough alone. And that's what we see tonight. First thing I want you to see is Adonijah's demise came from his prideful undoing. Look at verse number 13. It says, "And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon." Now understand, she's got to be up in age too. And she said, "Comest thou peaceably?" Now, why would she say that? Well, there was a time there where when Adonijah, she and Solomon both were afraid that if Adonijah was exalting himself to the throne, they had reason to wonder if their lives were going to be taken, right? And he said, you know, "I'm coming peaceably," there in verse number 13. Verse 14, he said, "Moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And she said, "Say on." And he said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine," not, we'll look at this in a minute. He said, "Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me," not, that didn't happen either. And that I should reign. "Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not." And she said unto him, "Say on." And he said, "Speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay." In other words, he's not going to tell you no. "That he give me Abishag the Shunammite to wife." And Bathsheba said, "Well, I will speak for thee unto the king." Now, we know that Adonijah still hadn't given up on being king. You know, in his heart, he really hadn't given up on that. He's hoping that somehow, some way, he's going to be able to work his way in there. And so, he had been so close to being king, you know, or just so close you could almost taste it. He had been right there. But he was not the king, and he was struggling with his position, and he was struggling with having lost face before, you know, all those people there at his party. And we've come to learn that Adonijah was also a very cunning individual. And so he devised a plan that could possibly still give him access to the throne and maybe even win him the throne, or possibly bust up the kingdom a little bit there and give him some followers to himself. So Adonijah approached Bathsheba in order to get his own way. Now on the surface, maybe it seemed to be a clever plan, but it was about to backfire on him. I want you to notice several elements of this conversation. First of all, we see Adonijah's conceit there in verses 13 through 15. Bathsheba asked if Adonijah was coming in peace because she had previously feared for her life when it appeared that Adonijah might challenge for the throne. Now, if he had become king, there's no doubt that he could have and probably would have killed Bathsheba and Solomon both. You think? I mean, you don't see any character in him. He wasn't near as gracious as his brother Solomon was with him. Notice his conceit there. He said, the kingdom was mine. Now, that was his opinion, wasn't God's. You know, really, the kingdom never was his. And it was what he tried to bring about on himself and failed miserably. The failed plans of one that was full of pride. Now, he further says here, he says, all Israel set their face upon me that I should reign. It makes you want to say to Adonijah, get over yourself, buddy. You know, you weren't that great. And you went about it the wrong way. You know that's not true. You know that all of Israel didn't set their face upon you. That was just the group that you had to party with. That's the only ones that were following him at the time. Because all of Israel did not want him king. In fact, it was just his barbecue buddies that he had invited to that party that he had hoped to be his coronation, and the one that got broken up by the news of Solomon's reign. And the root problem of people like Adonijah, we're talking about cocky and conceited people, and he qualifies on both accounts. The root problem is usually pride. And he had a pride problem. And pride is what leads to their downfall, just as we see here in Adonijah's life. Now, the Bible warns us about pride. Proverbs 11, verse number 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Well, he had pride, and he's already experienced the shame one time. He's fixing to experience shame again. Amen. And Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, he's had the pride. Destruction is coming. He's fixing to fall big time. His life is fixing to be taken away from him. So we see Adonijah's conceit. We see also Adonijah's comprehension there in the latter part of verse number 15. He said, the kingdom is turned about and become my brother's, for it was from the Lord. You know, you can almost hear him sulking here. He's sulking, kind of like Hillary Clinton. Remember how Hillary sulked right after election? Who's still not the president, our president, praise the Lord, amen. She's still not the president. You know, the president gave, understand, a great speech last night. I cannot watch those things. Democrats make me so mad, my blood pressure goes up. I'm afraid I have another stroke, so I just leave it alone. You know, I read about the aftermath of it. But I wasn't about to take and watch it. But we know that here he's acknowledging that his plans backfired, Adonijah is. But you can almost hear the complaint in his voice of kind of blaming the Lord because the Lord gave the kingdom to Solomon. Now, you know, if the Lord hadn't done that, I'd have been the most popular. Yeah. I'd have been the most popular. You know, if it wasn't for the electoral vote, Hillary thinks that she would have been in the president. Well, that's precisely the reason why the founders of our country made the electoral process, so that you didn't have a few population areas like New York and Florida and California and Texas voting the president. You know, it's very small areas of the country that had those big populations there. And it was the wisdom of our founders that God gave them to set the process like they did and not do it by popular vote. And by the way, we're a republic, not a democracy. Makes me mad every time they call us a democracy. If we were a democracy, we would have Hillary Clinton as president, is what we would have. But we have a republic, and it does make a difference. And you ought to correct folks. When you hear somebody talk about this great democracy we live in, even Republicans are saying it. Yeah, you all say, well, no. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. And don't forget it. Okay? By the way, God is the one who does the exalting. And He does so for His purposes. Psalm 75, verse number 6 and 7 says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." And then over in the book of Daniel, chapter number 2 and verse 21, there was a king who got brought down. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He became like an animal out in the field. You know, looked like one. And it took a while for the Lord to teach him his lessons, but when he regained his faculties, came back and was reestablished on the throne, he had this to say. He's talking about God. He says, "And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth the kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Now, notice again that it was from the Lord. Everything we have is from the Lord. Amen. And never forget that truth, and never forget to be grateful and thankful for the Lord's blessing upon us. I'm thankful that the Lord gave us President Trump instead of President Hillary. Man, it makes you just about want to choke on those words. But it's because of the Lord that we have President Trump. And so we see Adonijah's comprehension here. We see also Adonijah's conspiracy. I mean, there's a conspiracy going on here in verse 16 and 17. I mean, Adonijah petitioned Bathsheba for the hand of Abishag. Remember Abishag? Abishag, she was the last member that came in of the royal harem. Remember when David got old and cold? And so they found Abishag. She was a young virgin. She was brought into David's harem to minister to him. And he obviously assumed that Solomon would not deny this request if it came through his mother. Now, he thinks he has thought this out, but he should have just left things alone. I mean, he just should have left well enough alone. Solomon has spared his life and basically told him not to, you know, keep your nose clean, buddy. You know, don't let evil be found in you. But both his plan and his expectation of what it would bring him was about to backfire drastically, as we will see in a moment. We see Bathsheba assents to go ahead and do what he asked. We don't know why, but Bathsheba promised him that she would speak to Solomon. So far, so good. He got past her, but it's not over yet. We see Adonijah's demise came from his trying to use Solomon's mother to get to him, to get to Solomon himself. And there in verse number 19 and 20, we see that Solomon showed great love and respect for his mother. Notice verse 19, it says, "Bathsheba went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah." Notice his treatment of his mother. "And the king rose up to meet her, and bowed himself unto her, and sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand." He's treating his mom real well, right? Now, we see in verse number 20, "Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee. I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, Ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay." Now, he really wasn't going to tell his mom no. He's not telling his mom no. He's telling Adonijah no. I mean, there's a problem here with Solomon having answered. He gave an answer before he heard. what he was going to be given an answer to. He said, I'm not going to tell you no. He should have listened to the question first. Now, have you ever told somebody tricked you into saying, now, please tell me you're going to do this. You'll do it for me. I know you'll do it. Just please tell me you'll do it. And you say, I'll do it. And then after you say, I'll do it, and they tell you what they want you to do, you regretted it immediately. Well, that's the situation here. But he showed great love and respect to his mom, as he should. And, you know, your mom is still your mom, even when you're grown and gone. Never forget that. Your mom is still your mom. And Bathsheba proceeded to ask for this small petition, she says, as she put it. At least she considered it to be small because she really didn't realize what was going on here. But Solomon did. Now, unwisely, Solomon agreed to grant her request before hearing it. And that was not very smart. But this was before the Lord granted him the wisdom. Okay, we haven't gotten to the part yet where he asked the Lord for wisdom. That comes later. But we'll also see later that Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18, verse 13, he said, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Okay, so he realized, you know, I messed up back then. He learned his lesson. So he learned from the mistake, and we need to learn from our mistakes as well. A wise man learns, but a fool never learns from his mistakes. Now understand that Solomon never expected his mother to make a request of him that was really Adonijah's request. This was not his mom's request. This was Adonijah's request, disguised as his mom's. Well, Solomon's reaction was predictable. He sees right through this. He recognizes it for what it is. It's a scheme of Adonijah's. And so we see Adonijah's demise came from his failure to anticipate how Solomon might react. You know, he thought, mommy's going to talk him into doing this, and boy, you know, this will be great. But he failed to think about the Solomon factor here. Look at verse number 21. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? And what in the world, Mom, what in the world are you asking this for Adonijah for? Ask for him the kingdom also. You know, you want him to have Abishag? Why don't you just ask for the kingdom? Because that's what he's really wanting. It says, for he is my elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and Joab the son of Zeruiah. Now, these are two that David said, I need you to take care of some business for me. You know, these two, make sure you pay them back. Okay? So he's basically saying, you know, you want to undo all that Dad has asked me to do. Then, verse 23, then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me, and more also, if Adonijah have not spoken this word against his own life. Now, therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. So he didn't take care of it personally, but he had one of his assistants take care of it. Amen. But Bathsheba presented this petition, and the response of Solomon suggested that he knew something was very wrong here. I mean, he could smell the rat, right? Her request turned out to be much bigger than she thought. This was not such a little matter after all. Solomon knew his mother was being used by Adonijah to get something from him, and he didn't take too kindly to it. You know, it always burned me up when somebody tried to take advantage of my mom. And that's something that made you mad. You know, if you saw your mom, somebody trying to take advantage of your mom, especially when she got elderly. There was all kinds of shysters that were out there. I know there toward the end, so, Mom, do not answer the phone. We got your caller ID. You can see when we're called. Just answer the calls and where we call. Let it go to the answer machine, and she would not do it. You know, then she'd get on the phone and they'd try to trick her out of her money, try to trick her into buying something, trying to do something. You know, it'd make me mad. So when I was there, I'd answer the phone, and I'd give them the what for. You know, don't you be calling my mommy anymore. Well, you can understand. you know, he's burned up because Adonijah is trying to take advantage of his mom. And, you know, things that one thinks is not such a big deal may be a big deal to others. I want you to think about this in relationship to our King. I'm talking about King Jesus. Amen. Things that we think may be small matters, you know, and God really don't care about this. Well, maybe He does. And you just really haven't thought about it right. You ever thought about that? You know? So it might be very important to Him. You know, some people just kind of pass off when it comes to faithfulness in certain areas of their life. Pass off. Say, well, you know, God understands. Does He? Does God really understand? Is that an excuse that you're making? Or is that a real reason? You know, there's a difference between a reason and an excuse. And so we need to think about things in relationship to our King. So Solomon was upset with his mother's request, but what he says shows his anger is directed toward Adonijah, not his mom. He says, does he ask for the kingdom also, mom? Solomon saw Adonijah's request as a conspiracy to try to gain the throne, because this is what he's really trying to do. He was trying to get the throne through the back door because the heir to the throne inherited the royal harem, of which Abishag was a member. Now, if Abishag became Adonijah's wife, he might use that to try to lay claim to the throne. Say, well, I got Abishag. You know, I got the best looking of the harem. I got the young one. And, you know, he possibly could have pointed to that. But back in that day, in the eyes of some, having a royal wife might give him somewhat of a claim to the throne. And that's why Solomon was furious. Does he ask for the kingdom also? So Solomon decided to deal with Adonijah once and for all by having him executed. And we see that Adonijah's plan backfired on him in a great and final way. As I said, he should have left well enough alone. So God chose Solomon for a reason, and that reason was a matter of character. And we can see this when we compare the lives of these two men. You go and lay them side by side and look at the characteristics in their life. I'm not going to take time to do that tonight purposes of time, trying to get you out of here on time. But the selfishness, greed, pride, impatience, and hard heart of Adonijah led to his schemes and plans backfiring in his face. And listen, the same thing will happen to us if we get hard-hearted. You know, Solomon, on the other hand, was the opposite of Adonijah. And what did the Lord do? The Lord established His kingdom, saying, because of a different, total different character that we see there. Amen. Well, that's our Bible study for tonight. We'll move on and look at some of the early parts of Solomon's reign. We'll move on to see as he takes care of those matters that Dad asked him to take care of. And let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs tonight, and we'll be dismissed.